The Iran conflict has pulled attention from Ukraine in ways that Kyiv finds deeply uncomfortable, and Zelensky has been working hard this week to make sure that discomfort is visible. He issued two significant warnings in the last 48 hours. The first, Russia is preparing a massive missile strike within the next 2 days. The second, Russia is preparing mass mobilization for the autumn fighting season. He also said, and this is the striking one, that he is ready to sign a peace deal at the White House or at Mar-a-Lago. That's a notable rhetorical offer, and it puts the diplomatic ball firmly in Trump's court.
The readiness to sign statement is genuinely interesting because of what it reveals about Zelensky's strategic calculation. He knows Trump's attention is consumed by Iran. He knows European NATO allies are stretched between supporting Ukraine and hedging their exposure to the Middle East situation. By publicly offering to come to Mar-a-Lago and sign a deal, he's doing two things simultaneously: signaling flexibility to avoid being characterized as the obstacle to peace, and putting pressure on Trump to either engage or explain why he won't. It's a diplomatic move dressed as a concession.
The mass mobilization warning is more operationally specific. Russian mobilization for an autumn campaign would represent a significant commitment of manpower at a time when Ukrainian forces are already stretched along a long front. If Russia genuinely is preparing another wave of conscription, the battlefield situation going into winter could look very different from today. And the Zelensky government is aware that Western attention and aid flows are not guaranteed, particularly with the U.S. distracted by Iran.
Trump's Truth Social post this week, reframing U.S. military support as arms sales to NATO allies, not direct aid to Ukraine, was a deliberate rhetorical repositioning. It's consistent with how he's talked about burden sharing throughout his political career, the U.S. as arms vendor rather than security guarantor. But it also signals that the administration is looking for political cover to reduce the visibility of Ukraine support without formally ending it. The practical effect on what actually flows to Kyiv is the thing to watch, not the framing.
And then there's the Iranian proxy threat that forced a Trump plane swap at the NATO summit in Turkey on July 8th. The New York Times reported this week that a credible threat from Iranian proxies led the Secret Service to switch aircraft in Ankara. That's a significant security disclosure. It suggests that Iranian intelligence and proxy networks are operating at a level of sophistication that creates real operational constraints on American decision-making, not just in the Middle East, but at NATO summits in Turkey.
That detail connects the Ukraine story and the Iran story in a way that I don't think gets enough attention. Russia and Iran are not simply parallel problems. They're increasingly intertwined. If Zelensky's claim that Moscow is sharing satellite intelligence with Tehran is accurate, we're looking at a de facto axis that complicates every diplomatic track simultaneously. A deal that stabilizes Ukraine doesn't automatically reduce the Iranian threat. A pause in Iran strikes doesn't free up diplomatic bandwidth for Kyiv if Russia sees the pause as an opportunity.
Trump's appointment of Lieutenant General Kevin Admiral to lead U.S. Army Europe, notably at the three-star level for a role previously held by four-star generals under Defense Secretary Hegseth's push to slim senior officer ranks, is another signal worth noting. Downgrading that command structurally suggests a recalibration of emphasis on the European theater at precisely the moment Russia is building toward an autumn offensive. European NATO allies have noticed,